Welcome to this week's episode of WDKN's Jesus Roundtable, where ministers gather around the Word and spend time discussing the most important person in all of human history. Pull up a chair, grab your Bible, and join us at the table.
Welcome to the Interfaith Roundtable on WDKN and 101.5 The One FM. We are doing a 52-week study of the life of Jesus through the Gospels from a book that Matthew Hyatt wrote, We Would See Jesus. And we are in section 7, announcing the beginning. And we're going to get into that. But first, just an announcement here. And also, I'm Richie G., your host, and we have with us today.
Hey, I'm Matthew Hyatt from Burns.
And I'm Richard Green with Eastern European Mission.
All right. And Richard has an announcement.
Yes. I'd love to again tell those, if you have not heard this announcement before, that we are holding Eastern European Mission a special event at LP Field in the stadium club room. So it is indoors. My wife keeps telling me, would you make sure people understand we're not going to be sitting in the stadium in the cold. But on March 7th, which is a Saturday at 5:30 p.m., the stadium club room will be holding an event that tells about our mission work, which is giving Bibles free to all in Eastern Europe. All the countries that were under the communist bloc and the communist rules back for 70 years, they were denied the Bible. And today they still, because of economics being what it is, most everyone there cannot afford their own Bible. So we provide those, including place them in public schools. We're going to be premiering a short documentary film on what God is doing in Romania. Part of that, I can tell you, will be about placing Bibles in public schools in Romania, as we've also done in Russia, and of course I've mentioned Ukraine. It's exciting what God's doing. To give you an idea, over 550,000 Bibles and study materials were delivered last year in the hands of people that have never read God's Word before. Hmm. So we're not talking about people that not only don't have their own Bible, but they've never had the ability to even read it. So we want to provide those for them, and we want to tell the story on March 7th at LP Field. You can contact us, the RSVP, at eem.org/events and register there at our website. You can also email me at rriehn@eem.org and let me know that you can make that. There's no charge, no obligation to come. We'll feed you at 5:30, but it is limited seating, so you need to RSVP to be able to come. And we'd love to have anyone that is interested in mission work and interested in God's Word being given to those who might never have that chance if we don't provide those.
Awesome. And we'll have that link or those links on our website, JesusRoundtable.com, and also on Facebook /JesusRoundtable. And we'll have that info for you. And also, please go to the site and find the information for the studies we're doing. We'll have that on there for you, as well as podcasts. So a great site. We want to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. If you have any questions or comments, please get in touch with us. And today we're in Luke chapter 1, announcing the beginning, also Matthew 1. But let's start in Luke chapter 1. Here is the memory verse for today. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord, Luke 1:45. And we're going to get into Luke chapter 1, and Matthew is going to go through that chapter and explain exactly what's happening.
Oh, I'm going to explain it.
You're going to explain everything that's happening.
Well, if you're not driving a car and you're not going to kill somebody, I hope you'll grab your Bible and go to Luke chapter 1. I want you to start with me in verse 5. Luke, you remember, likes to give us details, so he tells us that this is in the days of Herod. There was a priest named Zechariah. He tells us what division this priest is from. He tells us about his wife and who his wife's related to. He loads us down with detail. Mm. Verse 6 tells us a little bit about the character of this priest, Zechariah, and his wife, Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commands and statutes of the Lord. By the way, that's a pretty significant compliment, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't say that about Richard very often.
Richard, I would suggest you not. Yeah. I'd hate for you to be a liar.
But I think that's sort of in contrast to what happens in verse 7. You notice it starts with the conjunction, but they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. Both were advanced in years. And remember, in the ancient world, there's kind of a stigma, and I think women sometimes still feel that stigma today. They were blessed, they were righteous, but they didn't have a child. You know, a lot of times people viewed the inability to have a child as some sort of
judgment or sin. Yeah.
And the text, it seems to me, makes it very clear that is not what's going on here. Mm. So don't you even say that about these two. So verse 8, Zechariah is serving as priest before God when it was his division's turn. And according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord to burn incense. And if you know anything about the priesthood in the day, this is kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You know, there were more priests than there were time to serve, so this is a really special day. Verse 10, the whole multitude of people are praying outside at the hour of incense. And look what happens in verse 11. There appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Now, what strikes me is there's some kind of funny things happening in this scene. God showed up at the temple, and that is evidently quite surprising to the priest. I think Luke sort of is smiling when he writes this. When Zechariah sees the angel of the Lord, how did he feel? Do you see that in verse 12?
Troubled.
Troubled and...
fear.
Fear fell upon him. By the way, if you love your precious moments things, that's fine. But understand, cute is not the word anyone in the Bible ever used to describe an angel. It was terror. So this angel shows up and he's afraid. The angel says in verse 13, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And by the way, he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God." So this is quite the prediction.
Yeah. Know,
everybody thinks their kid's special, but they really get a message. You're too old to have a kid. Your wife's barren. She can't have a kid. You're 0 for 2. You're going to have a kid, and this kid is going to do incredible things.
Yeah.
So imagine you're Zechariah. You're a priest. You've spent your whole life focusing on how to please God and how to lead people to God. This happens. Just what's your reaction?
Disbelief.
You know?
Yeah.
In this case, he says in verse 18, "How can I know this? I'm old."
Yeah.
By the way, does this sound familiar to you if you've read your Bible a lot?
Sure.
Let's see. It seems like I remember an old couple in the Old Testament. Abram and Sarai,
right.
Or Abraham and Sarah.
Mm.
And let's see, God made them a promise. And how did Sarah respond to that promise?
I laughed.
She laughed.
I'm too old.
So I think it's kind of interesting. Mm. The Old Testament and the New Testament both basically start with the same story.
Yeah.
Good people that God says, "I'm going to do something through you." So the angel evidently was not terribly pleased with Zechariah's response. Evidently, God was a little bit easier on Abram and Sarah than the angel was. I don't know what that is. But the angel answered and said, "I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Behold, look at this. You will be silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled." Now, the crowd's just confused because Zechariah didn't come out of the temple. They're like, "Die in there? You know, where is he?" And they realized he saw a vision in the temple and he was mute. So that's kind of the first part of the story. What do you think about Zechariah?
I think it's interesting that here's a guy who's doing what he's supposed to be doing. He's a priest, supposedly knows the word of God, and yet he's shocked. I think that's the main thing. He's shocked that the Lord would actually do anything in the temple.
Yeah, that's just funny to me.
You know, so many times when we read scripture, we look at something like this and we go, "I would not have reacted that way. I would have got it."
Yeah.
And I'm going to pull something from a television program that I just watched. And I sat there and I watched these guys I was watching Shark Tank. I don't know if y'all like that show, but I get a kick out of watching these people come in and present their products and all. I'm watching this and I'm hearing the sharks tell them what they would do. And the people are like not getting it. And they're insistent on going their own way, even though it's to their detriment. And so even today, we still go, "Well, wait a minute. This doesn't meet my perception of the way things should be. So I don't get it."
Yeah.
But we don't say we don't get it. We go, "No, I got it. You don't have it."
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's Zechariah, I think. That's Zechariah saying, "Angel, you don't understand. Gabriel, you don't understand.
Yeah.
This is not the way things should be.
Yeah.
Number one, when I have a child, I already have his life plan, and it isn't the plan you had.
Yeah.
So, you know, even today, we just don't get it. Mm-hmm. We still miss it so many times. And so I can identify with him.
Sure.
My wife would probably, if she were here, she'd probably go, oh, trust me, Richard doesn't get it when I'm trying to explain things. So all of us, as we read Scripture, need to remember we're really not different from these people today.
Mm. Well, you know, after this happens, and I'm with you, I'm Zachariah. How are you going to do this, Lord? I do think there's an irony to it, the priest being surprised by the presence of God in the place where God's supposed to live. Mm. I think there's a lesson for all of us religious people right there.
Yeah.
But after that, verse 24 tells us that Elizabeth did conceive, and she kept herself hidden for 5 months.
Mm.
And verse 26, the scene of the story changes. It says, in the sixth month. Now, I don't know if that's the sixth month of her pregnancy. I think that makes the most sense.
Mm.
Same angel gets a new assignment, and he gets sent to Nazareth to meet a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And immediately that language should remind you of what we talked about in the last episode, Isaiah 7:14. Here's your sign, a virgin shall conceive. So a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Now in verse 29, how did she respond to the angel?
Troubled.
She was troubled. You notice a recurring theme again. And she was trying to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Again, it's kind of a strange thing when an angel shows up to you and says, hey, God really likes you. God's with you.
What?
I've never even had a preacher come up and say that to me.
Well, have you had anyone say they like you?
No.
me either.
And also, you look at the Old Testament, they should understand this. You know, today we don't see angels.
Yeah.
Right? But in the Old Testament, what they were studying, Gabriel is spoken of in several places.
Yep.
In the Daniel 9 passage, as well as other places. So they understood that these things happen,
yeah.
And yet they were just totally shocked by it. Like, what in the world is happening?
Mm. Well, the angel says to her, don't be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end.
Mm.
Now, verse 34, Mary has a question for the angel. How will this be since I am a virgin?
Hmm.
What's the difference in what Mary said and what Elizabeth said?
Well, she's not saying it won't. This can't happen. She's saying, just explain how.
Yeah. Tell me about how this is going to work.
Hmm.
In verse 18, Zechariah said, how shall I know this?
Hmm.
Can I know this is true? And Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of God. Do you think I'm lying to you? You know.
Yeah.
In verse 34, Mary says, tell me how this is going to work.
Mm.
It's almost like she's saying, okay, what's my part in this plan?
Do
I need to do anything? You know.
Yeah. Anytime you have somebody look at you and say, you know, something that implies, I'm on board, but I do need to know, well, how do you want me to go about this?
Right.
How's this going to work? You know, that's okay, because we all find ourselves in that position. And Mary was sitting there going, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as good as you can expect when someone says to you, you're a virgin, but you're going to conceive. You know?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. You know, that's a pretty big deal.
Try to tell your girlfriend's dad that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, Elizabeth, okay, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to have a kid. All right. That's fine.
She's 70, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's rough, but you're a virgin and you're going to conceive. That she acts pretty well, you know, pretty calm, you know, when someone would come, an angel would say that to you.
And by the way, in the times that angels have showed up to people, I always remember, was it Gideon? I think it was Gideon in the book of Judges, was threshing wheat in a wine press.
Mm.
So he's down kind of in a stone that he's hiding.
Yeah.
And the angel of the Lord shows up to him and says, greetings, mighty man of God, or mighty man of valor, or something to that effect. And he's hiding while the angel kind of greets him with an aspirational title.
Yeah.
You know, here's what God's going to do with you.
Yeah.
You're kind of a chicken right now.
Right.
And the angel greets Mary and says, you have found favor with God.
Mm.
And she's kind of thinking, I just got back from the grocery store. I don't remember finding favor with God.
Right.
You know, how did this happen? What's going on here? I love her question. How will this be since I'm a virgin? 35, the angel answered her, well, here's how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. Doesn't clarify it a whole lot for us, but I don't think we needed to know the mechanics.
Right.
The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the thing Zechariah should have said.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's an impressive story so far. In just a minute, they will meet, but I think we probably have to take a quick break first.
Right. That would be best. We'll take a quick break, and after these words from our hopefully sponsors at some point, we'll be back with the rest of the message here on the Interfaith Roundtable.
While we're away on a quick message break, could you help us out? If you're listening to this show on iTunes, take just a minute and leave us a review. It'll only take a second, and it's the best way to get word out about the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for helping. Now back to this week's episode of the Interfaith Roundtable.
All right. Welcome back to the second half of our program. We are looking at Lesson 7, or Section 7, announcing the beginning. We were just in Luke chapter 1. We're going to move over to Matthew chapter 1 and continue looking at the announcement of Christ and his birth.
Well, as we've studied the Annunciation, so far we've met three main characters, really. We've met Zechariah. And what does Scripture tell us about Zechariah?
Well, he's a priest.
He's a priest. He's an old guy. What about his character?
He's kind of not, he questions the Lord.
He's a good man.
Right.
Scripture's clear, but he has some significant doubts.
Mm.
Elizabeth, Scripture tells us she's old.
Yeah.
Scripture tells us she's barren. Scripture tells us she's good.
Mm.
That's about all we get.
Yeah.
Mary, what do you know about Mary?
She's good, following the Lord, and was open to what the Lord had to say.
She really impresses me. If you read Luke, you only get information about Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary. Anybody significant we're leaving out?
The father, the non-father.
The not-father-father.
The non-father
Joseph,
father.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's interesting Luke leaves him out. And I think Luke leaves him out. You remember, he's this detail guy. So when Luke leaves out a detail, that catches my attention. And I think there's something to that. I think Luke is writing for this outside audience. I think he does not want to give any hint of confusing the issue by mentioning Joseph.
That's a good point.
I think he doesn't want Theophilus or any of his buddies to say, well, the dad's right there. Everybody knows.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Joseph's really the dad.
Right.
So he doesn't even name the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, she mentions she's betrothed.
Right.
But we don't so much as get his name in this part of
the book. That's a good point.
Yeah, it is.
Never thought of that.
Well, leave it to Matthew.
Yeah, accidents happen. So when you go to Matthew 1, you pick up the story in Matthew chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ took place this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And I think it's significant. The text falls all over itself to say this is before they came together. Her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to do what to her?
Divorce her quietly.
Okay. Now, being a just man, not wanting to put her to shame and divorce quietly, one of these things doesn't sound like the other in modern ears. But you're married to somebody. She comes up pregnant and it's not you. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right, fill in the blanks. She's cheated on you. That's the explanation in normal life.
100% of the time, other than this.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people today may struggle with the idea of, as a religious person would say, well, that's a big deal. But even still, as people of faith, we know it's a big deal, but not nearly grasp how big a deal it was in those times. For that matter, even 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Because today, you know, we may not approve, but if we know of two people living together that are not married, you know, we just kind of
society has made it okay.
Yeah,
so
we just kind of mask over it and move on.
Right.
But in those times, this was a huge deal.
She could have been killed.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's not like people were going to go, well, shame, shame, and turn and go on about their business.
Right.
Many people were going to take some action that was not good.
So his desire to divorce her quietly He is actually an act of mercy.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people miss that when they read this story.
Yeah.
That's,
right.
That's very
significant. Could have been stoned to death.
Yeah. Which would you rather? You know?
Yeah.
And again, Joseph amazes me. The text calls him a just man or a righteous man. He's resolved in his heart to do this, but verse 20, but as he considered these things, I love it. This isn't rash. It's something he's turning over in his head. He's trying to decide what's right. Mm. And incidentally, most of the time when we find ourselves in a bad situation, we just shoot from the hip and go with whatever happens.
Right.
But Joseph's thinking about these things. Huh. As he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear. By the way, what angels always say, do not fear.
Yeah.
Do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Here's that passage Richard quoted last week's show. Isaiah 7:14, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. By the way, sometimes we get this little modern arrogance and we think that people in the ancient world didn't understand things like we do. Can I be kind of blunt? They knew where babies came from. They knew how this worked.
Mm.
You know, this wasn't ignorance. This was supernatural. They viewed this as a supernatural event because it was. I believe it was. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she'd given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So this kind of introduces to us the four main human characters, Elizabeth, Zachariah, Mary, and Joseph. And the question I asked our class when I studied this was, who do you relate to in this story the most? Which one, you know, which one catches your attention the most?
As a guy, for me, Joseph. You know, you think, what in the world he must have thought.
Yeah.
Even with an angel, how much faith does it take to believe, okay, you know, and not, and honestly believe that it didn't happen another way?
Yeah.
And I'm envisioning him saying, isn't there a different way we could do this? You know, because for one, the greatest shame would be on Mary.
Yeah.
For having a child out of wedlock. But for the man, I mean, let's face it. We men, what do we have this thing that's called pride?
Mm.
And to for him to have to deal with knowing that people could be murmuring things and whispering things about what's happening, and he's thinking, Lord, couldn't you make this easier on me?
Why do we have to do it this way?
And it happened, and it wasn't just then. It was continuous. This is the son of Mary. You know, this is the son of Joseph and Mary. He's not doing anything special. He constantly had to deal with that.
Through the life of Jesus, people would say, isn't this the carpenter's kid? Isn't he from Nazareth? I mean, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same whisperings,
right.
Same murmurings. Joseph really impresses me.
Yeah.
He's a man of faith. He's thinking about not his ego. He's not thinking about his pride. He's thinking about his wife.
Yeah, cared about her enough to put her away secretly.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that.
Because that's the only thing that gives her a chance at a future.
Yeah.
Mary impresses me, too. And looking around this table, we're all Protestants, so we probably don't pay as much attention to Mary as our Catholic friends.
Mm.
In fact, I think sometimes we don't pay attention to Mary because our Catholic friends pay so much attention to her, we are a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Paying attention to her. But she is incredible. I mean, this is her womb, her body. She's the one who knows the truth more than anyone.
Yeah.
She has to, and Scripture does not record one time where Mary slaps somebody.
Yeah.
You know, because that's impressive to me. She is in the thick of it. Having Jesus came at a high cost to everyone involved, but especially to Mary.
Yeah.
You know her mom didn't believe her.
Right.
You know her
most
dad,
people.
You know that the priests didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, an angel came to you. But what does she say when she gets this news? I think we have to go back to Luke to get it, but the Magnificat is this song of Mary, and it is so beautiful. It's in Luke 1. Just kind of aim for the middle of the chapter. Starting in what verse is that?
46.
46, yeah. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior.
Mm.
She just found news that turned the world upside down.
Mm.
And she doesn't sit here saying, oh, I wasn't ready to have a child. We were going to, I know she wouldn't have said we're going to wait in the same way that a modern couple did. She wasn't on the pill, you know. But, you know, she doesn't bellyache that this wasn't her plan. She doesn't talk about the shame.
Mm.
She doesn't talk about the fear or the whisperings. She says, God has been merciful to me.
Mm.
I'm his servant. That is really cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
You're right. We do go in the other direction. I grew up Roman Catholic, so I go the other direction probably more than anybody.
Yeah.
But it's really, when you think about it, it's not right. She is the perfect example of obedience.
Yeah.
And being a godly woman. And you really do miss out if you neglect it completely.
Yeah.
You don't put more emphasis than there should be. But when you read the Magnificat here and just her reactions, it is a study in how to serve God and be faithful and trust in the Lord and so many different things that apply to all of us, not just women.
Yeah.
It really is.
Man, it's really impressive to me just to see what she's like, to see what she does. And what an example.
For all of us. Once in a while on Mother's Day, someone will do a message, on Mary.
Yeah.
Once in a blue moon. But for women, it's a perfect example. And when you look at all four characters that we looked at, we have some of all of them in us.
Oh, totally.
Right? We wish we were all Mary, but we're probably more a combination of Joseph and Zechariah.
Yeah.
More than Mary. When you look at it.
And isn't it funny that the two people who do best are the two women?
Yeah.
That's not an accident in Scripture. Because Jewish law said that women couldn't testify in court. They weren't trustworthy.
Mm.
But who are the ones who get it?
Yeah.
Who are the ones who are hanging around at the cross when everyone else runs away?
Right.
Who are the first ones to the tomb?
Yeah. And just another thing about that. That's how you know that this was inspired.
Yeah.
Because men would not have written great women were.
If
it was up to them.
And I think sometimes the church gets this bad rap of being anti-women.
Yeah.
The Bible upholds the fact there are differences between men and women. Mm. That seems to be something, in my opinion, that society is kind of trying to pretend like doesn't exist.
Absolutely.
And there's differences, I believe, in our roles and work in the church. Mm. Again, I know that's a point of contention, so I'm not trying to be divisive here.
Mm.
But Scripture does put a high premium on women, and Christians need to as well. We need to respect that there is a sense that feminism done right is a biblical thing.
Yeah.
Feminism done wrong is a demonic thing.
Right.
But, you know.
Right, but to ignore women and kind of relegate them
to
second-class citizens is not biblical either.
Yeah. All a man need do to really appreciate the wife, the woman in their life, is have her as in my wife and I's situation where she goes back from time to time to Texas to see her grandkids, and because she doesn't work, I tell her, go and stay as long as you want. The last time she went, it was for 5 weeks. And believe me, you understand that there's great value there. And I'm not talking about cooking and cleaning, guys that are listening to the program.
That's just part of it.
Just the total, package of having your companion there, somebody to talk to, somebody to listen to you and care about you and nurture you and everything else that women are so much better at than we men are. What a great blessing. So, yes, to have, a situation here like Mary that has obviously a very tenderness and a very sweetness about her. We've all met women like that we admired.
Right.
But probably safe to say the nicest, most wonderful woman we've met isn't quite to Mary.
Something special.
They're very, very special.
There really is. I know that's not the point of this story.
Mm.
The point of this story is what God's doing.
Right.
The point isn't Mary and Elizabeth. But I do think they provide a really good example for us as we think about our faith.
Mm.
Zechariah said, boy,
yeah.
Joseph did a really good job.
Mm.
Man, he was in a tough spot. His immediate reaction, though, was trying to figure out how he could solve the problem. And that's typical for us.
Mm.
But Mary just said, thank you, Lord. Elizabeth just said, thanks for using me.
Yeah.
And I tend to want to say, God, I would have preferred a different part, but they just say, thank you for using me.
Yeah.
And what a picture of faith for us.
But, when you mentioned the focus is really on what God's doing, and that's true. But what God's doing here is picking people that are so significant to the story.
Mm.
What if God had just picked anyone and said,
because God had picked you.
He could have. Aren't we all grateful he did? But God could have picked any woman at that time.
Mm.
It didn't have to be somebody. He could have picked somebody that was a horrible example of a godly woman and said, and I'm going to I'm going to do this with her, and here's my reasons. He could have done that, but instead he picked women. He picked a woman that would really add some depth and meaning to the story.
Mm, yeah.
And so, you know, it is talking about Mary is talking about, for me, is talking about what God is doing.
That's a good point.
Can you actually find any flaw in what God did in any story you're talking about? No. So it's wonderful that he did find people that had something to contribute to make the story special. Mm-hmm. And that applies to Zechariah, it applies to Mary, it applies to Joseph. I mean, every character mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. I think it's just wonderful that God picked the people he did.
Mm-hmm. And also, based off of last week, tremendous prophecies fulfilled.
Yes.
About concerning who Christ is and everything about him. And there's more, we'll see that as we go forward as well. But just for the Lord to predict that a virgin would bear a son or a child, it's hard to believe how perfect the prophecies are fulfilled.
Yeah, it really is impressive.
And we see this in this lesson as well. Any final beeps? Any final?
Cell phone's going off on the table.
Mine
well,
too,
I'm impressed with the story. Next week's a lot of fun because we're going to focus on some of the other unexpected aspects of this. We're going to talk about the wise men and the shepherds, and it's just
that's always
this
good
is
stuff.
A good story. So
that's good stuff.
Great.
All right.
I wanted to say something, Richie. Something that you brought up earlier, and I'm glad you did. In reference to the event at LP Field for Eastern European Mission on March 7th at 5:30 p.m., Richie asked about the dress code. Well,
pants required.
Yes,
that's what I was wondering.
And in your case, Matthew, a blanket wrapped around you. But all of our mailings that we sent out to folks that have been before, it says business casual, modest dress, just come anyway that you feel comfortable in. We want people to feel comfortable. Nobody is going to be judging somebody for their clothes. We're there for God, not for that. Mm. But modest dress. Our materials do say business casual, but just come. It's important that we be able to share the story of what God is doing in this day and time, just as it's especially important that we look at stories like this, the birth of Christ and Mary and Joseph and all. We just want to come and share. So if you're available, able to come to LP Field on March 7th at 5:30 p.m., that is a Saturday, come casually dressed. We'd love to have you. It's free to all. Just exactly as our giving Bibles to people in Eastern Europe, we tell everyone, free to all.
Hmm. All right, great. And that's March 7th, correct?
March 7th. They need to RSVP, and they can do that at eem.org / events.
All right, and we'll have that linked up on our website, JesusRoundtable.com. Go there as well. All right, thank you guys for coming today. I hope you enjoyed the lesson, and we'll be back next Sunday at 4 o'clock on the Interfaith Roundtable here on your hometown station.
Thanks for listening to WDKN's Jesus Roundtable. Listen live on Sundays at 4 at WDKN 1260 AM or 101.5 The One, or download the podcast from iTunes or JesusRoundtable.com.